instead of Dr. Paluzzi, we have Gina Desiderio. Gina has been with the Healthy Teen Network for 5 years. She has conducted many trainings and presentations at the national, state, and local levels, supporting the use of evidence-based programs to prevent teen pregnancy, STIs, and HIV. She has also developed many resources on evidence-based programs and supporting pregnant and parenting teens. Gina now serves as Director of Marketing and Communications at the Healthy Teen Network, leading the organization's communications and networking initiatives.
Thank you. Pat apologizes for not being here today. She had a professional emergency. We do want to thank our other partners on this presentation, Dr. Freya Sonnenstein with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and Dr. Melissa Houston, who was previously with the Baltimore City Health Department. We have no relationships to disclose. And I want to give a background to this project. It was really the perfect storm. There was a confluence of time and factors that really enabled the Healthy Teen Network to work with the Baltimore City Health Department to put together a strategic plan to reduce the number of teen births in the city. We had moved recently from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore, and it was an opportunity for Pat, our president and CEO, to go and meet with the then health commissioner, Dr. Joshua Sharfstein. And so they were having this conversation. Pat was introducing herself and our organization, what we do, and Dr. Sharfstein was talking about his concern with the teen birth rate in Baltimore. Healthy Teen Network, we have a history of working with communities at the state and local level. So this was something that certainly fit within our expertise. It was something that fit our mission, and it was something that we wanted to come together as a partnership to work with Baltimore City to work on. Just a brief glimpse into the teen birth rate in Baltimore City. You can see the graph there on the slide. In 2007, the teen birth rate was 66.4 births per 1,000 teens aged 15 to 19. This is almost double the Maryland rate of 34.4 births per 1,000, and it's also substantially greater than the U.S. rate of 42.5 per 1,000 females ages 15 to 19. So these were the data that Dr. Sharfstein had to reflect on as he was having those initial conversations with PATH. We learned some lessons from similar endeavors that had already been conducted in Baltimore City. About 15 years ago, there was a youth-led report that went and looked at the resources that serve youth and focus on teen pregnancy. There was also a report led by a foundation. And what we learned from these reports is that there was a great deal of information, although 10, 15 years ago, when we were looking at it for this project, they were already out of date with the resources. And then they were just reports that sat on the shelf. So from the very beginning, this was something that we knew. We didn't just want to go out there and say, these are the resources, this is what Baltimore City needs to do. We also wanted it to be something that was going to support implementation, support true change. So this was also a concern among our funders for this project, and so that was something that was guiding us throughout the project. Baltimore City is predominantly African American. Certainly racial sensitivity is a must. The history, racism, health disparities certainly become an issue here. It's important to note that the African American faith community in Baltimore City has a very strong and pivotal role. So involving them can be challenging at times, but they also can serve a very important role in any plan that's going to move forward. Also, what we were seeing was that the Hispanic population was very small in Baltimore City at 2%, but that they were having the highest rate of teen births in the city. And then, of course, both Hispanics and African Americans were having higher rates than white teens in the city. I know that's a lot of tech. Pat wanted to just make sure to acknowledge our project partners. This certainly was a multidisciplinary effort. The Johns Hopkins Urban Health Institute and Center for Adolescent Health, under the leadership of Drs. Robert Blum and Freya Sonnenstein. Kellogg Fellow, Dr. Amanda Tanner, was very instrumental in data collection and analysis. Additional contributions to data collection were made by Risa Turetsky, Beth Feingold, Darrell Brooks, Catherine Roof, Kristen Duber, and Shamika Jelenowitz. Dr. Melissa Houston of the Baltimore City Health Department served as our project advisor. Reverend Deborah Hickman was very helpful in making links with the faith-based community. The foundations we received support from included the Abel Foundation, the David and Barbara B. Hirshhorn Foundation, the Henry and Ruth Blaustein Foundation, the Annie E. Casey Foundation. And then from those foundations, project officers Terry Stodenmeyer, Betsy Ringel, and Lara Hall also served as project advisors. The multidisciplinary support from the university, from the students, from the foundations really helped us to go far, far beyond what our funding really could have just by the dollars and cents. We formed an initial advisory group with Drs. Blum and Sonnenstein, Dr. Houston, and then the funders. Johns Hopkins added expertise and certainly some cachet in the community with their positive research reputation. Baltimore City Health Department was always a partner in the activity. It wasn't that Healthy Teen Network was going and doing this for them. And then our funders knew the city well. They had a lot to offer from their longstanding commitment to Baltimore. We had many additional benefits from working with Johns Hopkins. Among the students, Dr. Amanda Tanner worked with the students to conduct our key informant interviews, to map the data so that we could see where were the services, where were the rates highest, the neighborhoods and where that was falling, working with the faith community, conducting youth focus groups, and then accessing some, there's a typo there, out-of-school data. The key informant interviews that we conducted led to some important recommendations regarding who we needed to make sure that we were engaging up front, how we should disseminate the information that we found, and then also pitfalls that we should avoid when considering implementation. The mapping of the data created very important visualizations of the rates and where the services were and also where the gaps were. Members of the faith community came on board early with this project, and that helped to bring other members of the faith community. And then the youth focus groups provide some of the most useful information regarding knowledge about and access to services, and that led to a current communications effort, which I'll talk a little bit in a couple minutes. Just a glimpse at the out-of-school data that we collected and looking at that with our in-school youth from the YRBS. This out-of-school data came from the Youth Opportunity Program, or YO. Dr. Freya Sonnenstein has close connections with this program, so she was able to help us get access to this information. We were able to look at the percentage of in-school youth and out-of-school youth who were engaging in sexual risk-taking behaviors, and it helped to create a picture not just of the youth that we were reaching with those in-school programs, but also the youth who may be missing those programs or services. There were some additional benefits from working with the health department. For example, BCHD acted as a prime on a small grant. That enabled us to have a very public launch of the final report last summer and a policy roundtable. We wouldn't have been eligible to apply for those funds otherwise. The mayor was in the middle of Baltimore for Healthy Babies. This was an initiative to reduce infant mortality. And while it wasn't, reducing the teen birth rates wasn't originally seen as part of this initiative, it certainly is a good fit. And we helped to make that relationship clear. And as a result, they did establish the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Task Force under this initiative. That small grant that we rewarded was from the National Institute for Reproductive Health. And that funded the roundtable. The Teen Pregnancy Prevention Task Force has already formed a youth advisory council. They are working with the information we gathered from our youth focus groups to create a campaign, and they're focusing on long-acting reversible contraceptives and emergency contraception through various social media methods to get that message out to Baltimore City youth. Some additional benefits from working with our funders. They certainly helped us with access to our key informant interviewees, and they helped us to gain attention among other local funders. For example, the Annie E. Casey Foundation was not among our initial funders, but once we discovered that we wanted to conduct those youth focus groups, they were able to provide us the funding to conduct those groups. The funders have been working in teen pregnancy prevention in Baltimore City for a long time. They've got the relationships in the community, and certainly people want to please their funders. So they opened a lot of doors for us. They also knew that supporting implementation beyond this report was going to be incredibly important. Their presence at all of the events for this project have made a difference because the people who are serving the youth see the funder support, and they know that they can go to the funders, they can fall back on this report and use that together to support the implementation. The focus groups were very important because they provided us information from youth about what they thought about the access to the services and the availability of services, what they thought about teen pregnancy and parenting, and then also what they were looking for from adults. These focus groups, we conducted 8 with in-school as well as out-of-school youth, males and females ages 15 to 19. The key informant interviews warned us against developing another report, again, that would just sit on a shelf, and also urged integration into just looking at these findings from our report. And then again, the presence of the funders at the key events showed that their support behind implementation made it a real possibility. Because we had this partnership through this project, we were able to expand the initial project and what we thought it was going to be. Initially, we thought we were going to survey the providers, we were going to do some key informant interviews among a subset of those survey respondents. We were going to look at the YRBS data to identify sexual risk-taking behaviors, and then a presentation to the mayor when complete. Because of those benefits that I just discussed, we were able to add further interviews about how to implement and challenges and pitfalls to avoid with implementation. We were able to conduct the focus groups. We were able to really reach out to the faith community. We created a subcommittee with the faith community for this project. We were able to access the out-of-school data from Johns Hopkins, and then we were able to have that very public mayoral and policy launch. Community input along the way was always a factor in this project. One meeting occurred when we announced the initial plan. We presented some of the initial data that we had already gathered, and then we asked for feedback. So we were always asking for the community to participate along the way and for them to help guide us through the project. We continued to call upon that group. We had several other meetings and subcommittees with them. They helped us to hone in on specific data and further define who we were looking at and the population and their needs. And then we invited these same folks for the final mayor's launch. And some of those folks continue to be involved with the Teen Pregnancy Task Force. I'm just going to go over 3 of the main recommendations. If you're interested in learning more about the report itself, you did get this executive summary uploaded in our handouts, and the full report is available on Healthy Teen Network's website. Our first recommendation was that the Baltimore City Public School System and the Baltimore City Health Department need to collaborate to increase access to evidence-based sexuality education and confidential contraceptive services for all young people in Baltimore. With the school system, we recommended health education standards that include age and culturally appropriate evidence-based programming. Our mapping allowed us to identify that there were lots of gaps in the services, and so that the clinical providers need to work together to identify where we've identified those gaps and how to come together to expand service. And then one of our recommendations was a social marketing campaign on the LARCs and emergency contraception, which is already taking place. Recommendation 2 was to increase youth outreach and connection, especially among certain high-risk subpopulations of Baltimore youth who face greater risk for teen births, STI, and HIV, and who may not be reached by school-based approaches or social marketing campaigns. Preventing repeat pregnancies among teen parents is an important strategy that was not currently being addressed in any major way in Baltimore City. Integrating teen pregnancy, STI, and HIV prevention in out-of-school sites and out-of-school programming like juvenile services and other employment or youth support agencies is an important step. And then finally, the Hispanic population in Baltimore is growing and have the highest teen birth rates in the city. And so the service providers need to come together in terms of addressing the sexual and reproductive health needs of this population. Finally, recommendation 3 was to create a citywide coalition to manage this comprehensive plan, collect data, and advocate at the city and state levels. It took us a tremendous amount of time to gather the information, to find out where the services were happening. It was always different in terms of who was the information we were receiving in terms of who was accessing services, who they were seeing, where they were located versus who they were seeing. There's no central data repository, and so that was one of the recommendations. Institutionalizing a citywide coalition would go a long way. The task force under the Healthy Babies for Baltimore is a huge first step in this. In conclusion from our project, can't say enough about the need for including the community and working with your partners all along the way. Certainly this project became much more than Healthy Teen Network and Baltimore City Health Department had ever envisioned. Working in partnership with the university, the health department, and the professionals serving Baltimore City enables us to put together a truly comprehensive city plan for reducing teen births, and it is being embraced and implemented at the city level. Going back to that first slide where I talked about the perfect storm, just some tips for you to think about as you're trying to think through how to conduct a similar plan with your community. Thinking about developing and maintaining relationships. When Pat had that initial meeting, she didn't have an agenda. She was just going to introduce herself. She wanted to let Dr. Sharfstein know who she was, who Healthy Teen Network was, and what we do. Think about how your organization can complement what others are already doing and how you can leverage the funding and the work that you're already doing to complement their work. Keeping in touch with folks with no agenda for what you want to do, for no agenda other than just introducing yourself. Tracking local trends, knowing the local data, the resources, and what's happening at that local level. And being proactive and solution-oriented, thinking about what you can offer and what you can bring to the table. And, of course, we all know that means what you can do with the funding you have, but thinking about how those line up with what they're doing and what you're doing so that you can complement each other. Thank you.